Well, it's cold out there.
Yeah, I see you gave up.
Yeah, it's coming down too hard. I'm not making any headway.
So I was telling Paul, I was watching you clear off these strips, you know, and then, you know, about a minute or two later, I couldn't tell where you cleared anything off. I mean, it just seemed like you were losing the battle.
Well, you know, I didn't take much off, about four inches probably. There's already an inch back already.
I see that.
That's the way the lake effect is. It's light and fluffy. You can move it easy, but boy, it sure comes down in bunches.
It's like it's blowing almost horizontally.
Yeah, well, that camera's, you know, on the front of the garage. And it's coming down a little bit of an angle, but that breeze will come around the garage, and right where the camera's at, it'll blow it sideways sometimes.
You know, that snow almost gives it that outer limits effect.
Yeah, doesn't it? That's the way that stuff shows up on that infrared.
That's interesting. Oh, that's infrared?
Yeah, there's no light out there.
Oh, is that right?
I was out there in the dark.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that. It looks like it's fully lit.
Yeah, let me flip it to the backyard camera once. Watch this.
Does the snow show bright on the infrared?
Yeah, it's snowing so hard I'm losing my signal on my back camera. It's quite a ways away. But you can see the street light out there. It's probably a couple hundred feet from the camera.
Right, yeah. Whoops. I'm getting a commercial now.
Commercials pay the bill.
Yeah, I guess when we have this free service, we got to put up with that, huh?
Yeah, I got it back.
Yeah, it's a real jerky signal because it's so weak from the snow. I'll have to go back to the front one. The front one's 50 feet closer to the receiver.
Yeah, I am. Of course, I've never been to your house, so it's hard to tell by looking at the camera what the layout really is like. Because my perception here from what I'm seeing, I'm sure, is nothing like you standing out there.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell by that, yeah. You can see the corner of the house there where the hose hanging on a rack. That's probably about 35 feet from the camera. The camera is under a porch awning that's on the side of the garage. And that bush you see out there just left of center, that's where the pond's at. And that's probably 55 feet from the camera. And there's a fence out there that you can't see. You see a telephone pole with a light on it, and one a little closer, just to the right of it. That one's right by my fence, which is probably 100, 110 feet away from the camera.
Right, yeah, I can see that, yep. Anyway, nice to be inside, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty chilly out there. I don't know what the temp is. But
by the way, Craig did check in.
Oh, did he? Good. How was he coming through?
It was a pretty tough copy. I could hear him just enough to have a little bit of a conversation with him. And Paul couldn't hear him enough to have a conversation with him. But so he was down. But anyway, we did hook up.
Good. When he gets his amp going, then that means we'll probably hear him.
Apparently he could hear us.
Yeah,
that's a good sign.
He could hear us. I don't know if he didn't really say how well, but I'm assuming well enough. But yeah, he said he was going to try to get his amp going tomorrow.
Good deal. Be nice to have him back on.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I need some fresh meat to harass.
Now, I understand those cameras are you get a signal by radio from the camera. Is that right?
Yeah, it's all wireless, and it comes in and is picked up by this control head that plugs into the PC by USB port. And there's no way to play this camera direct over Ustream. So what I'm doing, my regular Logitech camera, I'm just pointing it at the little receiver. The little receiver has a 7-inch LCD screen for the security camera. I just got my Logitech camera pointed at that screen.
So that's a monitor picture that you're looking at.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a pen and tilt or anything, control of the outside cameras?
Yeah, but I have to be running it through the PC to do that. And when I run it through the PC, I lose my 7-inch remote monitor here. So then I'd have nothing to show the camera at. Because you know what happens if you shine a camera at your monitor?
Oh, the direction you're pointing now back where you were before, is the top of the screen the house next door?
There's nothing across the street but a parking lot. There's a few cars sitting there. I'll see if I can pan up a little bit with my indoor because the LCD shows more. But there's nothing across the street from me but a parking lot and an empty field. I had the closest house directly across the street is probably 500 feet away.
Oh, okay, because the view I'm looking at here, it almost looked like I was looking inside of a garage or something, but that's all open behind there, and that's your house to the left then.
Yeah, the house to the left, just left of the vehicles, and the road is about 70 feet from the camera. In fact, if you look real close to the left of that car, you can see my mailbox. My mailbox is actually in my driveway because the mailman turns around here. So I put the mailbox in the drive. So he pulls in, dumps the mail, backs out and goes. He kind of likes that.
Huh.
And what you're seeing there with the light on the top, there's light in that parking lot. And there are a couple of cars sitting there, although you're not seeing them very good. I'll see if I can move the camera a little.
Yeah, it almost looked like a wall with a door. there you go. Okay, I see.
Yeah, I panned it up a little. Now, if you see the vehicle sitting there with the parking lot light, then to the extreme right is the building. I don't know, maybe 70, 80 feet north of my house. So, there's across from me, it's just open field.
Right.
So the conversion to visible from the infrared is done in its own system monitor.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's
And you have another camera looking at that.
LED things that are around there that light it up for the viewing is I forget how many is on it, but if you go outside and look into it, you can see them. They're just barely red. And then the Logitech camera just pointed it. At the little monitor here. In fact, I can back it off and show you the monitor here. Let me do that. See, that'll give you an idea of what you're looking at.
Right.
That's an unimaginable amount of technology from my early days.
Yeah, that's a lot of cameras to put something on the air, but I thought it was kind of fun to play with.
Hey, that's working out great. I had no idea you were getting the video that way.
Well, that's why I want an IP camera. I want to be able to dial in an IP address, and it'll just feed the router.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I tell you, you're doing a good job doing it this way. I mean, heck, it looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising, isn't it?
You know, that reminds me, Bill, of how I used to record music, when I was like in third or fourth grade. You put a microphone up to the speakers of your phonograph and expect to get a nice recording, and it always sounded like crap.
Yeah, I used to do that too.
Yeah. Live audio transfers. Then I discovered all these wonderful little jacks and stuff, and I'm like, I wonder what these jacks do.
I'd done the same thing, John. Speaker to mic.
I can talk and still record.
And then I thought, wonder what happened if I replaced the mic and just stick a wire in there to that speaker output and see what would happen. And then I started toying around. Boy, I started getting some pretty good recordings.
Right, right. started figuring out why they put all those other holes in it, huh?
Uh-huh.
You know, and I used... Did you ever do this? You were sitting there recording something. Maybe you were recording a song on the radio. And you know, you had your microphone up there to the speaker. And all of a sudden, someone walks in and starts talking, and you're like, shh, shh, shh.
Yeah, all the time.
Remember doing that?
Oh, yeah. That was some fun old days.
Yeah, like, shut up, I'm recording, man.
We used to record like that cassette tapes for our cars, you know. And every once in a while, you'd be listening to music out of your car. Well, now, we made some pretty good recordings, me and some of the local guys, that were actually, you know, not direct. They were speaker to mic. And then you'd somewhere during the recording, you'd always hear somebody laugh or say something.
Oh, yeah.
I got way up to Ampex 350 and high-quality microphones.
Yeah, I know. I started getting into some of the... I started realizing that there was life beyond little reel-to-reels and cassette decks, and started looking into some of these nice commercial open-reel machines. Yeah, Paul, I was hooked on all that stuff in the early 80s. You were probably into it earlier than that. But when I came along and was interested in it, you could... I gave about $3,000 for my 15 inches per second open reel machine. It was a four track, a mixer, and a good microphone and stuff. So it wasn't cheap.
What name tape recorder do you remember?
Tiak.
Yeah, that was a popular one.
I went way up to Ampex.
Yep, Ampex were real nice machines. Now, was that a half inch or full inch machine, Paul, or was it a quarter inch?
It was a quarter inch with two tracks.
Right. Okay. Yeah, it was just a kind of probably a standard playback machine then, I always wanted the half or full inch machines. They had some 8-tracks machines that were on 1-inch tape, and that gave you a little bit more versatility if you were trying to play all your instruments, you know, yourself and make music and stuff. It'd let you cheat a little bit like that. But it was very difficult with a 2-track.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I had, when I was in the Navy, I bought one through the PX, and it was German. And it had this funny looking little plug, and all my friends that had PX and everything, they had... On the ship, they had their big reel-to-reel tapes, and they plug in the external speakers and everything. And I couldn't figure out how to turn mine in, and I found this funny-looking little receptacle, and it had place to put 5 pins in, and I had never seen a connector like that. And it was years and years before I ever found that connector again.
Oh, my.
Hi, Gary.
Good evening. It's a standard connector like you use on a packet machine, you know, the 5-pin.
Maybe like DIN.
Yeah, it was a... thank you, Paul. It was a 5-pin DIN plug. But back then, you just couldn't go down to the Radio Shack and buy a 5-pin DIN plug.
Yeah. I hate those things.
They're not my favorite either.
Well, you know what? What's really funny is
solder,
you get
for one
working
thing.
On an ICOM or a Kenwood radio, and they have 13-pin DINs, 8-pin DINs, 6-pin DINs. It's just amazing what they come up with.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Everybody sounds good.
How you doing, Paul? You're coming through quite nicely.
Thank you. You're 10 over.
Yeah, 10 over here too, Al. Sound pretty good.
Everything's good here, Alan. Good evening to you, and thanks for the emails.
All right. I hope that was of some interest. It's coming along. I'm writing an email to some of the fellows over there with a complaint list. I want to make sure they don't fall into some holes.
So So they're talking maybe January now?
No, I think they're talking February for, you know, for the rest of us. And maybe the end of January for the beta testers.
I know Scott was on the early list, and he was telling us earlier that he thought maybe he might see his in January sometime.
Well, I'm on the early list, too. And I'm hoping for, you know, I don't know, mid or late January.
Is that your Christmas present?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Merry Christmas to me.
That's an interesting... I'd like to ask everybody, or anybody, if they bought something for themselves.
I did.
What'd you get?
AR-15.
What's that?
An AR-15.
You and about 10,000 other people bought one.
What's an AR-15?
Never in my entire life had I ever wanted anything like that. And when I found out that we might not be able to get them or whatever, and just to have and say I had one, I went out and bought one. And then I found out it's a lot like amateur radio. You buy the initial unit, and then you can spend more money than you did on the unit for the furniture.
No doubt. What brand did you get?
DPMS.
That's a semi-automatic rifle, John.
Yep, I kind of started figuring that out.
It is not
John,
an assault weapon.
Among my other vices, I happen to be a gun nut and have a I have several and enjoy shooting. But I never had any desire for anything like that. And when I found out that they might put a ban on them, that you wouldn't be able to get one, I thought, well, it would be nice to have for self-defense.
You know, I've heard here within the last few days that gun sales are at a record high.
There was a news item on TV, and they showed it, and I don't know where the gun store was, but they did $1 million in one day and nothing but AR-15 and AR-15 accessories.
Amazing.
I bought myself a present.
What'd you get, Paul?
That tilt plate for the antenna.
Oh yeah, did you get it?
Yeah, that's standing on end in my garage. That's about $1,000.
How big and heavy is that?
I don't know. It weighs 50 pounds, maybe more.
Wow. That's a really trick setup.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cut my mast off.
Why?
The version of that the mast passes through is weak and not robust. And the way to make it robust is to cut the mast off where the tilt plate clamps on, so that the mast does not have to go straight up and do tilting on the top as well as the bottom. The rotatable mast drives. This gets right on the. This clamps right on the top of the rotatable drive, which remains 5 feet down in the tower.
Okay, and when you tilt the tower over, I guess at the base, the antenna stays horizontal. As you tilt the tower over, is that the idea?
That's right. The antenna stays level, and just as you tilt it down, and when you have it all the way horizontal, the tower is resting on the ground, and the antenna is at about belt height.
that's pretty cool.
Isn't that slick?
Wow.
I seen a video in one of them, how they operate, and that is just slicker than snot.
Boy, I could get a lot of antenna work done that way, you know it?
Oh, you could walk right around the antenna and work on it. It's amazing.
Yeah, and the Step IR needs a lot of touching up. It certainly needs to be retouched annually. By this time, it looks a little sad with sag and whatnot.
Do they recommend a certain thickness mass pipe to go with that, Paul?
3 feet above the ground or so, 3-4 feet, and it's horizontal. You would have perfect access to every part of it. You could clean it all up and take your time and not worry about falling off the tower. That's heck, I could even do that on my chair, on my power chair.
Wouldn't that be nice, Al?
Yeah, and adjust all the trusses, and the deployment has so much detail involved in it that there's no hope that that's going to work 10 years without attention.
So that's even better than my hazer.
Yeah, well, it's more convenient.
Well, the hazer I can get the antenna about 7 feet off the ground, so you still got to work on it with a ladder.
Yeah, and a hazer won't work because my tower is only 2 feet away from the house.
Well, Bill, at least if you fall, you'll survive.
Yeah, I hope, you know. When I lower it down, though, it is nice, even with a stepladder, to go out and fine-tune it and then crank it back up. That's still pretty sweet.
Oh, heck yeah. I got to climb 70 feet.
Yeah, that's a long ways as we get older.
Now, my big job, whenever I make the installation, it's going to be I'm going to have to rotate the antenna by hand 90 degrees. When I bring it down now, I have to have the boom parallel with the tower as it comes down, and when the tilt plate is there, the boom of the antenna has to be at right angles to the tower, so I'll have to find the place and cut the mast and attach the tilt plate, then turn the whole antenna 90 degrees and attach it to the tilt plate appropriately. That's all bolted fast, and arrange the I have to arrange the cables so they all work with the rotation and all that. So it'll be a job. I'm training my muscles to do all that work in the spring.
You aren't going to tackle that by yourself, are you?
I can lower the antenna at present solo. I have all the rigging invented for that, but I'll need help to do the 90 degree rotation, and local people have indicated enthusiasm to help me do that. So I'm reasonably certain that I can do everything without long distance traveling by fellow hams.
Well, if you end up needing help, and keep us informed a couple weeks ahead of time, maybe we can get a hand for you, you know, from around here too.
Yeah, well, that would be appreciated, but it's too much. That's too much travel time.
It's not that bad.
And gasoline's going up. Incidentally, milk is going to cost more than gasoline pretty soon.
We know gas was at 309 around here just a week ago, and it's now up to 340. I don't know what happened.
Because they can.
Yeah, that's probably it, Gary.
I laugh. Gas got down to it got down below the 310 mark, and then all of a sudden it jumped up to 339. And somebody said, "Why did they do that?" That was my standard pat answer, because they can.
Well, during the storm, you know, after the storm, gasoline went up to $6, you know, around $6 a gallon, for the exact same reason.
I seen that on TV. That's just flat ridiculous. Of course, they was having a hard time trucking it in, weren't they?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Still, though, that's crazy. I mean, talk about kicking people when they're down, you know?
Yep.
N9VR.
K2WS in Wading River.
W8SF.
And U9M.
You know, the same thing happened to the AR-15s after the attack in Connecticut.
Yeah,
one that you could buy for $800 and went to $1,200.
Unreal. Hi, Jim and Randy.
What was that again, the 800, 1200?
AR-15, military knockoffs, went from $800 to $1,200 overnight.
Yeah, that meant profits. That simply meant that profits went up in some areas.
You cannot find, where I live in Kentucky, you cannot find one. And if you find one, the price is outrageous.
I think it's that way all over, Gary.
That means I know someone sitting on a gold mine.
Oh yeah, yep, yeah. There, and even the old SKSs that you used to be able to buy for $100 are now $349.
Hello, Randy, and hello, Jim.
I yelled for you on 40 today, Jim.
I heard somebody call me, but I could hear that they were calling my call, but I couldn't tell who they were or anything. Barely hear.
I called you a couple of times, Jim. Three or four times, and I had the amplifier on the last couple of times, and I never heard you come back.
Oh, that was you, Alan? You could hear me, though, huh?
I could hear you.
That's weird. I could barely hear you.
Well, and then the contest, some contest came on, and well, that was the end of that.
Boy, they had 40 all best up, didn't it?
I'm with you there, Alan. When that come on, I just said the heck with it.
Oh yeah. Hey, Bill, I've got my old SDR 1000 running, and I have it on right now. I'm surprised nobody said anything. I'm just going to put on the pre-emphasis. Okay, I've got the pre-emphasis on now, and I'm just wondering which way does it sound better?
I think it sounds a little better with it on. You got a little bit more presence, a little more signal maybe.
Okay, well then I'll leave it on. John, you got a wide reception. How's it going?
Good. Can I hear it both ways again?
Of course. It's on right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And now it's off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, it's... I think it's a dB and a half per octave starting at 500 hertz. All right, we'll turn it back on again. All right, it's back on again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What say you?
Well, at your current signal strength, I prefer it on, like Bill. And it's because it brings in all that nice crisp air for easy listening.
Agreed.
If you were 40 or 50 over 9, I might prefer it the other way, Alan. But as it is, I do like the extra brightness.
Yeah, agreed.
You're 20 over here, and I like it.
Well, thank you, Paul. And I understand, John. It does bring up the presence, and when the signal is, moderately strong, it can make a big difference. So I'll work with it. You know, I saw some interesting material on audio processing from on the Omnia website. They had some pretty good information in there. It might be fun to read that. So if anyone's interested, I'll try to find the site, and I'll send you the URL.
You on the 1,000 tonight, Alan?
I'm on the 1,000 tonight.
Yeah, I figured you had to be. Yeah, you got it sounding beautiful.
My noise level went down to S7, and it sounds perfectly good here.
Very, very transparent.
I kind of like the looks of that new software on the Flux, too, in that video you sent out.
Well, I have mixed feelings about it. I wish that they would show some more of the indicators. Things like whether or not you have NR on, NB or NB2, or the NF, ANF, those kind of functions. I wish they had indicators on there. I saw a couple of other things that they got to correct. On the scale, on the frequency scale, on your pan adapter, you only want to have intervals that are 1, 2, or 5x. You know what I mean? If you have anything else, like an interval of every 4kc or every 6kc, it's very confusing when you look at it. But when you stick with 1, which could mean 1 or 10 or 100 or 2 or 5, it's a piece of cake. And that's how they have Power SDR set up now. And I'm registering a complaint about that. I think they need to change that ASAP.
Yeah, it's definitely different in Power SDR, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, that thing is just a user interface. That's all it is. The power of the machine is in that box, the 6000 series box. And, heck, they could make a front panel for that radio. I mean, a physical front panel. It would cost, but they could do it because everything else is in the radio. That radio could be totally PC independent.
Now that's the part I like about it.
Yeah, me too.
Now, if you're operating that and your computer crashes, you can keep right on rolling?
You plug in an RJ45. No drivers, no nonsense. Just plug in the RJ45 and you're done.
So you could tie it right into a router.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I'll probably run it Well, it was started. Start off. I'll run it on this Dell that I have, and later on, almost immediately, I'll try it on the Mac machine using Parallels, a DOS emulator, not DOS, a Windows emulator, and I've already tried it with PowerSDR. Just playing back WAV files, and it worked perfectly. So I'm sure it'll work.
I know I'm awful anxious to hear it on the air.
Well, me too. I really am. And we're going to have the same bandwidth as we have now. And I hope they took my suggestion seriously about the bottom end. Don't brick wall it. You know, just roll it off gently. You know, 6 dB per octave or whatever you have to do, but don't brick wall it like you do now.
Yeah, that'd make a big improvement. You know, we're going to get to listen to three of them here right away. You, Dave, and Scott. So it's going to be fun to listen.
Yeah, you better get it right. And you 9M.
Well, I'll put a recording of your voice on it, John, and you can tell me.
Oh, man, that's a no-win scenario there.
Well, you know what we want, Al?
What's that?
We want your router address.
Well, I'll tell you what. Eventually, we'll be able to do that. They've got a little work to do. They've got to do some, compression, data compression. But that's exactly the idea, and that will happen. And, you know, you'll be able to run my unit from your QTH.
That'll be fun, won't it, John?
Yeah.
In fact, I think it would be a blast to just go in and just hammer the heck out of Al's equipment when he's not watching.
Yeah. Greg had me doing that to his the other day, my Motu. I was in there with TeamViewer Alan and re-EQing him while he was talking.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't been back since.
Oh, gee.
I wonder where he's at tonight.
I think he was going to be over at his son's house helping with the bathroom project or whatever. And I bet he's still over there laying tile and stuff.
Maybe they're getting close to being done and he's sticking around to finish up. That sounds like something I would do. But, yeah, that'd be pretty neat, get that thing all set up. And I would enjoy trying that across online just to see what it's like. I think that would be a lot of fun.
We could all take our turns adjusting your controls there, Alan.
Ah, boy, oh, boy. I'll have to think about that long and hard, John.
I wonder if there'll be some type of administrative functions in that where, like, you'll be able to limit certain things, coming across wire.
I don't know. I mean, that would seem like a reasonable thing to do, you know. All they've said to me is initially, it will not be set up to do remote. You can remote it in your house on your LAN, so I can run the thing in the living room. After the initial release, they're going to have the full remote set up. And I guess we'll get more information then.
I don't understand why you would ever even want a stranger to run your own equipment.
You know, Paul, I'm thinking the same thing, especially these two guys, you know? I mean, they're going to wreck my station.
Oh, we promise we wouldn't hurt it bad.
Alan, I'll tell you what. I would set you up with an EQ program that VE6CQ Ricky would approve himself.
Okay.
Yeah, Randy.
What's to stop an unlicensed person from doing that?
Don't give them access.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it'll be set up with passwords or something like that.
Access security gonna know the difference.
Well, I'm sure, you know, it'll take only certain people's gonna know the IP, and then once you get the IP, there'll probably be a login and a password you have to know to even access it, I would assume.
Yeah, I would assume that too. This is K2WS, 24 minutes after the hour.
WN9D, what's next? Access to our bedrooms?
Well, that's probably coming, Randy.
Well, we already have that, Randy. You know, I'm sure you can find them if you look.
Oh, yeah. Wonder if they got access to my toilet.
Bill's already set up with videos of the monitors and all that.
Well, Google's probably got us all on camera anyway.
They got Tyler.
Yeah, did you see that?
That was funny. I would never have guessed anybody would chase that camera car around. Who'd known it would have been Tyler?
Well, what I want to know is if he chased it around, why is his car parked?
Well, you know, he showed the pictures of it, so I got on and tried to find him. And yeah, was that his car parked in front of his house?
Yeah.
Yeah, how's come we can't see that?
What do you mean?
Talking about?
How come we can't see our cars, you mean?
No, and you know, if he followed it and was in all those shots that he sent... I went right to his neighborhood and was been going through his neighborhood, and I never seen any of those shots that he sent.
Oh, really?
No, all I seen was a car parked in front of his house, and I went through a whole bunch of roads thinking, you know, I'd find him sooner or later, but I never did.
Huh.
I can see my house and my antenna from about 5 viewpoints of Google.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know if this car was moving or not moving.
Oh, but he sent like 5 or 6 photos, Jim, that showed his car in different positions where he was like trailing the Google Cam car by 1,000 feet or something.
Well, he might have been on foot or bicycling or something. That car had been moving fairly slow.
Oh, he was in his car.
Okay.
He got a bang out of it, didn't he, John?
Yeah.
I laughed when I seen them.
Well, what happened, Alan, is Tyler saw the Google car, the one that drives up down the street to take pictures of the street view. So he saw the car driving around taking photos. So he followed it and got included in quite a few of the photos.
Hey, Billy.
Wow.
Yeah, Randy.
How do you think a Google car would react if he passed by someone's house and they were bearing down on an M1A with him?
Hard to say. Have you ever seen one of them?
M1A?
The Google car.
No. Well, I don't know. Do they have a logo on them?
The one I seen didn't, but it stuck out like a sore thumb because there was like a 2-foot mast that come off the roof with this great big tripod thingy, the way that it magneted the roof or something, and some oddball looking high dollar camera on top of it.
Now that'd be the thing to zap on a really high power radar zapper or something. Or an x-ray machine.
Well, you know, they got it now where they'll come in, if you let them, they'll come into your business or home or anything and they'll map the inside of your property.
Over my cold, dead, bloody body.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
There's a place in Bremen here just south of me that you can walk through their whole factory.
Okay, I'll tell you an anecdote. I called up the blacktop painting company and said, give me a quotation to paint my blacktop. And they said, what's your address? And we'll call you back. And when they did call back, they knew the number of square yards that were appropriate to paint on the blacktop and gave me a price. They got that information by looking at the Google vantage points.
That's interesting.
Wow.
That reminds me. You know what my devious mind is thinking now?
What's
Say
that?
Again, Randy?
What my devious mind is thinking now.
What is it thinking?
Okay. Next, Google satellite maps or whatever. I'm sure they do passes every so often. I'll put some obscenity up on my roof sticking straight up so only a satellite will pick it up.
There's people that's done that.
Really? I'd like to check them out.
One guy put, I just seen here a couple weeks ago. What did he put on his roof now? I got to find.
There's two businesses here in town. They're always in competition with each other. The owner of one business would always fly over the other one with a helicopter looking down at them and seeing what they were up to. And yeah, they put a message on the roof for him.
What was it?
I think they called his sexual preference into question.
Dogs or doggies?
Well, they got a little competition going there, huh, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. You remember the barns years ago? Used to have advertisement on them for, like, Mel Pouch tobacco and all that.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a few that still do in southwestern Pennsylvania.
I can really see my lot of very plainly from the Google viewpoint, and it's remarkable. I'm in a high definition area.
Well, some of the newer shots, Paul, they're really high def too, aren't they? They're nice.
Yeah, they're very very detailed. Like, I would certainly be able to see a car in my driveway, and it happened to be empty whenever they took the shots.
Same thing here. I remember seeing my son's old car that he got rid of last November, and that car was he had it parked in the driveway for a month. Don't ask me why, but I remember seeing that. And my tower, I can see the tower, and you're looking straight down, so all you see is a whole mess of elements. There are three Yagis up there, and they all merge together because you're looking straight down at it. And I've seen that. So you can see the backyard. You can see a lot of things.
Well, I guess I better stop taking the track out of my skids.
Hi, Paul.
Billy, I got it.
What's that, Randy?
I'll put figurines up on the roof. Let's see. Obama, Hillary, and Harry Reid engaged in some despicable act.
Yeah, and then you'll have Obama down your neck for real.
Bring him on.
I have about a 1 foot plastic owl hanging by the eave of one of my roofs, because a woodpecker has been pecking holes into the side of my house.
Well, there must be something for him to get to, some kind of bug.
Well, it's redwood. It's redwood siding, split redwood lap boards. and they're totally dry. He just pecks holes here and there on speculation.
Get a plastic owl and hang it up.
Yes, that's what I have done, and it helps around that side. But apparently I need four of them for all four sides of the house. I caught him working on a different side since then.
Pesky little critter.
I got an owl up here one time. It worked for about 2 days. And they found out he wasn't real.
Electrified.
We'll sell it, John.
Anyway, this is our guy.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm good.
Jimbo, how about a .22 pistol with birdshot?
That'll do it. You gotta get kind of close, but that'll do it. K-9 duty.
So you ate that stuff?
I don't think he'll come back if he gets nicked.
K2WS, Wading River.
WN90.
N9VR.
Well, we got rain and sleet and snow tonight. It was raining hard all day, 20 to 30 mile an hour gusts. Maybe we'll have a little dusting of snow tomorrow morning when I get up. And that'll be the first time this season.
They said on local radio TV station, here's got a website, it says that 65% of the U.S. has snow on the ground. I mean, I can't find that hard to believe, but that's what it says.
65%?
That's what it says.
I don't buy that.
Oh, yeah, man, it's snow. California is snowing and getting nice and heavy. It's cocaine, that's right.
No kidding.
Taking cocaine into effect, too.
Our weather people say the same about Ohio. Well, 65%.
That just seems kind of hard to believe.
Well, you guys were talking about Bill wondering about the Google Weather Map or any other weather camera. You can see it's probably a good close picture.
Of course, the last one by itself is 25%.
Well, the satellite observations confirm that. I don't have any doubt that they are reasonably accurate. Twenty years ago, I wouldn't have believed it.
I'm gonna see if I can find a snow cover map. I'm just kind of curious.
Like I say, though, Bill, if they include Alaska, then, you know, that's a big chunk of land.
Yeah, that's true, Jim.
I don't know whether I need a minute ago or not, KU radar.
Yeah, you did. You was in your car.
Oh, that's right.
I imagine Hawaii has a pretty small percent.
Even they have some snow, Paul.
Oh, yeah, a few snow-covered peaks.
Yeah, they even snow-ski there.
Well, it says on the weather report that we're due to have a total of 1 to 2 inches of snow with northwest winds 15 to 25 and gust up to 35 and chance of snow near 100%. So this is our first snow this season.
Yeah, I just found a snow cover map, and wow, I'm shocked.
Really?
That's every bit of 65%.
I thought it'd be more. The government's giving us a snow job. My pleasure. My patriotic duty.
You're happy to serve, huh, Randy?
Eager, willing, and able.
Well, the thing about it is, though, he doesn't get mad. He just gets evil. Look at what he done to Joe the plumber.
What is going on these days with Joe the plumber?
He's probably in the poorhouse now.
Some of his claims turned out to be inaccurate.
Got all this voluntary militia that they're ready to die for him.
Well, every morning I wake up, I look in the mirror, and I say to myself, God, I give thanks I'm not a Secret Service agent today.
I wonder if November 9, Victor is listening in tonight. Ken, why don't you come on and say hello? We'll all turn up the RF gain and seek you out.
Yeah, I wished you would. I'd like to hear his SDR.
Hey, speaking of that, has KZOG checked in here?
I haven't heard him, Paul.
Okay, well, he's got a new Flex radio, and I've heard, you know, quite a few of the guys on the frequency here had them. And told you, you know, you guys are good and nice and all that good stuff, so he thought probably was going to drop by. Maybe get you guys to tweak him up on the side of the road. And I particularly volunteered him to John in U9N, so...
John's the resident tweaker.
Yeah, I told him we had a bunch of good guys here that could do that, but John was kind of the pseudo standard, you know.
Tom, to do it before 9:30, but the man goes kapooey at 9:30.
Well, I'm telling you, the signals are dipping to me pretty good, Jim.
I was listening to you a little bit earlier, Bill. I get a pretty decent signal when you're out an S9 or something like that, but man, you went down almost 2 or 3, S2 or 3, and then you came back up.
Yeah, you're dipped to me right now, Paul, quite a bit. It's kind of been a crazy band.
My noise level went down to S7.
Yeah, but
my noise has gone up since
big.
I started. I think it was about S5, maybe S4, when I first got on. And now it's about S6. And I can hear, you know, some storm, the static crashes way in the background. So it is changing. But boy, that was really, really wild. Was it yesterday? That was really incredible for Marco to be S4 and the noise floor almost S2 or whatever it was. And normally he's like 40 over 9 threatening to overload the receiver. It was just, I thought something was very wrong at my station.
That's what it's been doing here, Al. You know, about this time of night, the guys within a couple hundred miles just get really, really tiny.
Wow.
What was that comment, Jim?
I say all your missing noise went out into space, Paul.
Okay, well, good riddance.
Well, he hangs right in there. in there about 10 over.
Yeah, Alan's the biggest signal here right now.
Is that right?
Here, Alan. All are pretty close, about 10, 15 dB over 9. Everybody else is S5 and below.
20 over here, Alan.
Yeah, likewise. You're 20 over. And Bill, you're about 15 over. And you've been moving around. I've seen you as low as S8. And you've come back up now. So, James, you're pretty far down. You're probably, I don't know, about S8, something like that.
Just glad I make it, Alan.
And let's see, Paul, you are Paul. I think you're about 10 to 15 over. And Randy, I think you're about the same.
Alan, you're 20 over on the Gulf of Mexico.
Double-double. What about the Gulf of Mexico?
Yeah, Alan, this is Steve in Mississippi, W5K.
I was going to tell you, you're 20 over here.
Wowee. Well, you're about 15 right now, and sounding like you're a local.
Yeah, you do too. I'm hearing you and Paul the Bears right now.
Hi, Steve.
Hello, how y'all doing?
Good. You're not too bad here in northern Indiana. You're not as strong as Al. You're about S8, but that's pretty big compared to a lot of the guys right now.
Well, I noticed the band just made a little shift just about 10, 15 minutes ago on my end.
Ten over in Columbus.
Well, I put my Cobra ultralight back up, Paul.
It's working good.
Thank you for demonstrating yours so well.
You ever lift them other knobs on there, Bill?
No, I haven't got that part done yet, Paul. But I've been sitting here admiring them for a week. Well, usually I get things done fairly quick, but I've been so doggone busy here lately, and then with the holidays and, you know, running to my parents and her parents, and we've been gone a lot, so it won't be long, though. I'll have them on here.
I'm going to run off and grab a pair of wire cutters out of the garage. Okay, I ain't ready.
What are you going to cut?
A wire. It's a long story.
He's going to cut that 11-meter crystal out of that set.
W8SF, time for the social hour. See you guys subsequently with K8 Sugar Fox.
See you, Paul.
Have a great evening, Paul.
Yeah, good evening, Paul. Nice hearing you there, young man.
Good evening, Paul. Good to hear you tonight.
And I'm going to take a little pause here and grab something to drink and a snack, you guys. And hope the band will hold in here, and I'll be back in a few minutes. M9 Victor Radio.
Some of that yellow cake and little formal cupcakes, that was pretty good. They were hot right on the oven, and it was heavy.
That sounds good.
See you later, Bill.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Boy, it's nice getting this rig back on the air again. Everything sounds so airy. With the high frequencies, and it's a real treat. I haven't had this on in a couple of weeks. I had some trouble with it. There's an intermittent in the stack, and I think it's corrosion on the pins. Each board plugs into the preceding one. and I think some of the pins are getting corroded just a little bit. And I moved them around and I gave them a shot at the Oxit. I didn't want to take the whole darn thing apart because it's a real problem. You know, getting everything aligned right, and it's like a two-hour job if you haven't done it in a while anyway. So I didn't have to do that. So it's working pretty well.
And what was that, Alan?
What was what?
You're using deoxid on what?
Oh, on the corroded, corroded connectors. You know, the pins on these connectors. Each board has it's a 22-pin or an 18-pin, connector. And the preceding board plugs into it. And it's a four-stack deal. And it seems to have a problem. It's intermittent sometimes. And sometimes it doesn't bother me for a year. And then just a few weeks ago, it started in again. So I did what I could. It's working now. But if it happens again, I'm going to have to take it apart and do a more thorough cleaning.
Those were the edge connectors?
Well, they're not really edge connectors. They're like Borg pins. You know, Berg pins? There's a row of them. I think it's a 2x9 or 2x10, something like that.
Like you'd use on the end of a data cable on a hard drive. You know, the pins stick up vertical and you stack boards on them.
That's exactly it.
And what piece of hardware was this in?
This is in the original Flex Radio SDR-1000.
Very well, very well.
And United.
KU8R.
K2WS.
W5KAM.
W9D.
Steve.
You did.
Yeah, he's totally cool.
Yeah. I noticed some of the local signals are dropping, but Alan, you're real big tonight.
Yeah, you are too. You're like 10 over. You're getting close to 15 over. And, you know, usually you're around S8 to 9, so you're barreling in here.
Barreling.
Hee-hee. Woo-hoo.
Well, what did you get for Christmas, John?
In terms of earthly material things, a little of this and a little of that. We were talking earlier about what if anyone had bought themselves presents, and everybody I talked to so far has. And mine was a surround sound AV amplifier for the television here, so that was my splurge.
Oh,
well, that's gonna be fun.
Oh, it has been already. I've already listened to some 5.1 surround digital music DVDs, Blu-rays, as a matter of fact. And so a couple movies, and between all the effects from all those and from broadcast television, this surround system is absolutely amazing. Things going on in the sound field I didn't even know existed.
Well, tell me, John, did you replace the original, pair of stereo speakers or are you using your original stereo speakers and your, you know, you've added maybe a subwoofer and two other speakers in the back?
Well, previously we were using the internal television speakers. It's a 56-inch or 46-inch Bravia, Sony Bravia. And I, you know, for a while I had a computer speaker system on it with a little subwoofer, which brought a little bit better fidelity, but I scrapped all that, Alan. I'm not using anything inside the TV now. I've converted my living room Mach 1s to the front, right, and left speakers of my surround setup. So my Mach 1s are my front, right, and left speakers. I have a small center channel speaker hanging just behind the television up toward the ceiling. And I have two bookshelf speakers in the rear of the room at each corner, pointing down toward us. And then I have a subwoofer sitting underneath of the television console, or underneath of the furniture. So I've got a true 5.1 surround system.
Oh, that's really cool, John. Well, I have a 46 Bravia also, and when I remember when I first got it, I listened to the internal speakers and for about 10 minutes, and I decided, we're gonna hook it up to the old stereo amplifier, which is I have an old Carver receiver. It was a really cool system back in the 80s, and it still works, and it drives a pair of Polk SDA-2s, I think. Very popular large speakers back in, I think it was the late 70s or early 80s. And I have those in the front, and they kick ass. They really sound good, but it's just stereo. And I've been thinking about, you know, one day doing what you're doing.
Well, if you're into soundstage, it certainly brings a whole new dimension to listening to stuff. Even broadcast television has stuff mixed in the back as opposed to the front. It's pretty wild, and every station does it different, too. So it's kind of entertaining just to hear how they mix everything in all this digital surround stuff anymore. And right now I'm feeding the output of my Blu-ray player through its optical... it's got an optical audio output that I'm sending straight to the AV amplifier. And an HDMI cable going to the television for the video. But I'm going to do things a little differently. I'm going to try things a little differently. I'm actually going to run an HDMI straight to the AV receiver from the Blu-ray, and then another HDMI cable from the Blu-ray to the television. From what I've been reading, that's the preferred way to do it, because evidently you get more sound codecs available that way. So I'm just going to play around with it here a little bit. But there's a few ways you can hook these things up.
Sound codecs.
Cool, John. I use HDMI from the cable box to the receiver, and the Blu-ray DVD thing that goes to the Bravia. You know, you got a couple of HDMI connectors back there, and you know, you select it with the remote, HDMI 1, 2, 3. I think there's 3 or 4. So I use that, and well, it I think it sounds better, and it's certainly a lot easier to hook up with just one cable. And you got the high-res video, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Randy, I meant to say audio codecs.